Good morning, and welcome to A Healthier You. I'm your host, David Christopher, with my co-host, Fawn. And this morning, as usual, we're going to talk about ways of making you healthier. Good morning, Fawn.
Good morning, David. Nice to be here. It's beautiful outside.
It is. I don't know how it is on the East Coast, but here it's nice.
That's right. We want to welcome everybody in Utah County. Wake up, wake up. It's time to get up and listen and get ready for your day. Salt Lake County, you can hear us too. Good morning. And on the East Coast, you're a little bit later than we are right here, but still good morning to you.
Right. It is still morning there. Well, this morning we're going to talk about a real hot subject.
I know, and I like the subject too.
We're going to talk about cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper is probably a misnomer, and we'll mention why that is. But we need to mention that 500 years ago, a little over 500 years ago, the greatest discovery in the world was made.
And what was that?
Well, some people think it was a discovery of America by Columbus. But no, it was a discovery of red pepper by Columbus.
Red pepper by Columbus, huh?
Right. You see, he was out there looking for black pepper, which at the time was a very, very expensive spice. Mm-hmm. And they were hoping to fill up the holes of their ships, you know, with this black pepper, but instead, they found red pepper. And red pepper actually became more of a boon to the Spanish and the Portuguese than did black pepper.
How about that?
In fact, it was so popular. I mean, it caught on just like that. Most spices, you know, it takes a little while to get used to and everything. People loved it right from the very first.
Even though it was spicy and hot.
Well, that's what they were looking for. I mean, these bland diets that they were used to, and the bad meat and fermented this and the problems, the spoilage and things, were covered with spices. And this particular spice was just excellent for all these things. And it hit the rich people as well as the poor people, and poor people just changed right over and just loved it. So it's something that caught on real fast. And they started spreading it, like, all over the world. You see, the old world didn't know anything about cayenne pepper. It was a new world discovery. That's the only place it was. They didn't have it over there. And in fact, they've had it over here a long time, 7,000 years. You know, they did archaeological studies, you know, and discovered that cayenne was used clear back then, 7,000 years ago.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's been used, especially for not to get over to the old world. It's amazing. So anyway, it got spread by the Portuguese and the Spanish. The Portuguese took it to India. In fact, by the time the English got it, they got it from India.
Oh, is that right?
And they thought it was a native of India. So when it was taken over to England, it was misnomered then as Indian pepper, Indian red pepper, and thinking that it originated there. But no, it was just spread by the traders. And so most of our cayenne today actually comes from India, I think 50%, and then Japan, and like Thailand and all those places like that. And very little comes from the Caribbean, and that's why it's a misnomer. cayenne, which is a city in on the Caribbean coast there, there's very little. It's the capital of French Guiana, and there's very little cayenne comes from the Caribbean. And so the Spice Trade Association wants people to stop using the name cayenne. But you know what? I like the name cayenne.
I do too.
And what we're talking about is red pepper, or capsicum is its Latin name. Capsicum is a word they're not sure exactly where it came from. They think it might have come from the Greek word kaptos, which means to bite, because it bites you when you bite it. And the other one would be from the Latin capsa, which means a box, which would refer to its botany. And it looks like the fruit looks like a box when you cut it open, because it's because it's a hollow and it's got the seeds in, and so it looks like a little box. And so it might have been referring to that. What's interesting about cayenne pepper is that, or I should say capsicum, because they differentiated between the term cayenne even when they were using it. And cayenne signified the hotter of the red peppers. But at any rate...
So if you want to lump them all together, then you use the general term capsicum.
That's right.
Okay.
But at any rate, there's 20 different species of capsicum and hundreds of varieties. In fact, there's been one estimate of 1,700 different varieties of capsicum.
That's a lot.
And they range in color from blue to bright orange to yellow to red, of course.
Blue?
Yeah, they have some blue varieties. Purple, they've got some purple varieties too.
Wow.
So and chocolate, they've got chocolate-looking.
Chocolate?
Yeah, so it ranges in a lot of colors.
Well, I guess chocolate's mine.
But it's an amazing fruit, and people need to realize that it's a very safe one, too. There's been all this hogwash, you know, about it being bad for you, that it desensitizes your taste buds and that it causes ulcers and, you know.
Ruins the stomach lining.
That's just old doctor's tales. Has no basis in truth. In fact, modern research actually shows just the opposite. They've actually taken little TV cameras and put them down people's throats, you know, and been able to observe when somebody eats these types of foods. And they found out that there's absolutely no difference, you know, when you eat regular food or the hot food, that it does not cause any damage whatsoever. No bleeding is caused from eating cayenne. In fact, it's just the opposite. Cayenne pepper, or capsicum, or red pepper, however you want to call it, that's one of its main purposes, is to control bleeding.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
It is. Well, we've used that a lot in our house. We know that.
Right. Tell them about Jesse.
Which incidents about Jesse, about his bloody noses?
Sure.
Well, you know, invariably it always seems like when we do any traveling, Jesse always comes down with a bloody nose. I don't know, maybe he gets so excited about going someplace. I don't know, but it seems like, well, I remember the last time we were heading to the airport as a family, we were taking a trip, and Jesse had a bloody nose in the car. And I didn't have any cayenne powder with me or a glass of water, because he usually just mixes with cayenne pepper and water to stop a bloody nose. But we have some cayenne extract, squirted that in his mouth. Of course, that made it really hot. And his face turned bright red, and his ears looked like they were burning. It was kind of
crazy. But it stopped the bleeding, didn't it?
It stopped the bloody nose, oh, I'd say within 60 seconds.
And I'm always surprised it always takes that long, because Dr. Christopher, my father, famous herbalist, he always said that by the time you count to 10, bleeding will stop. And he had an interesting case. One of his students had been, you know, working in a restaurant. And they had some patties that he had to separate. And so he decided he was going to take this big old knife and separate these patties, which wasn't a very good idea because it ricocheted off and went right through his hand. And I mean, blood was spurting on everything, on the grill, on the refrigerator. I mean, it was really intense. It was just all over the place. And he started to panic, and you can call, the hospital to take him, you know, to emergency. And then he remembered about the cayenne. And then being in the kitchen, of course, they had some red pepper. So he took that red pepper and just poured it on. And he said, well, Dr. Christopher said it stopped by the time I counted 10, and it didn't happen at all. You know, he counted 10 and it was still bleeding. But by the time he counted to 20, it had stopped.
Wow.
So that worked really well. Dr. Christopher had a number of really interesting cases with cayenne pepper. Specifically, one of his students, again, heard a gunshot over a neighbor's house and knew that the parents weren't home.
That was scary.
You know, knew that the 4-year-old and 8-year-old wouldn't be practicing with a gun, so that she ran over there. And I think the younger one, 4-year-old, had been shot through the abdomen, ricocheted off his spine and out through his side. So he was bleeding in two places. I'm just pumping out two sides of his body. And so she immediately got cayenne, mixed it in some water, had him drink it down, and then I put pressure on the areas, and they called 911.
Did she pack the wounds with the cayenne at all?
No. She just took it internally.
She had
him taken internally, and they called 911, and they said, oh, by the time we get there, this poor kid's going to probably bleed to death, but we'll rush, you know. And I can't remember what amount of time it took them, you know, 20 minutes or something. It took, I guess they were quite a ways away from the hospital.
Yeah.
Anyway, it took the ambulance about 20 minutes to get there. So them getting there and then rushing them to the hospital, and then they immediately went into surgery. The doctor was absolutely amazed. He didn't bleed to death on the you know, And they got him to the hospital, and he was just the talk of the whole hospital because Henry had just been shot, and normally you'd lose so much blood that you'd just be out. So the kid was up and talking to people and stuff, you know.
Wow,
and
amazing.
He was like, whoa. And so when he went into the operation, the doctor was just flabbergasted that there wasn't a lot of blood to clean out the abdominal cavity.
And so what did the cayenne do?
Basically what cayenne does is it equalizes out that blood pressure so it doesn't keep pumping out. So what's happened is when you receive that much trauma, you know, a hole put into you, which is an abnormal thing, the body instinctively rushes blood to the area, not realizing it's going to lose it all. Mm. It rushes blood to the area for an emergency situation. So what cayenne does is it equalizes out the blood pressure so it stops pumping out that way.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it?
It is. You know, I remember last summer a little incident with Tara. She had just come home from a folk dance tour, and she was helping me prepare food for the seminar that we do every summer, the herbalist seminar. And she had a friend with her that just come home from tour with her, and I was gone delivering food, and they were making a salad or whatever. I can't remember. Chopping up stuff so I can make a salad when I get back. And she sliced her fingers pretty good. And I know that when I got home, I saw her fingers were wrapped. I didn't realize what had gone on, but that night she told me the story. She had sliced her fingers and started to bleed pretty heavily, and so she was leaning over the sink, having the blood run into the sink instead of all over the floor, and she told her friend that she needed some cayenne pepper. Well, the friend was panicking, didn't know what to do, and so she finally got it out of the spice cabinet for Tara and gave it to her, and she put it on her fingers, and as soon as this girl saw the blood, she was passed out on the floor, on the kitchen floor. And here's Tara with her friend passed out, and she's trying to deal with this blood at the same time. So she puts the cayenne on her fingers, and she rouses up her friend, and Rachel wakes up and stands up and gets a stool and sits down on it and passes out again because she sees the cayenne pepper all over the fingers. It was really comical, I guess. But anyway, the cayenne pepper did stop the bleeding. She was able to wrap them up and get her hand taken care of, and then she was able to help Rachel come back to you and be a normal girl again. Interesting stories. But, you know, Rachel needed the cayenne pepper. She would have passed out if she had some.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Reminds me of out in the driveway, you know, cleaning the driveway, what, a couple of winters ago.
Well, I was going to tell that story. It's kind of extensive, and I will get to it if you want me to. I'd love to tell that story.
But, you know, I was out to clean snow off the driveway, and my four-track stuck in the snow, and so I was trying to pull it out, and instead of it being pulled out, I was pulled under it.
That's right, you went right under it, didn't you?
And it hurt. I mean, I hit something, and my leg hurt really bad. And but I just kept working. It was cold out, and so I didn't really realize that I had really done some damage. It was cold out, and so I just kept working. And I came back in the house, and took off my snow clothes and my...
Your jeans.
My jeans showed some problem, but then when I took them off...
Your long johns.
Holy, my long johns were just... It was blood from the knee down. And I thought, oh, I really caused myself some damage. And so then I took off the long johns, and I definitely caused myself some damage. You know?
It's a big hole in your leg clear down there to
was,
your bone.
Yeah, I was able to take the tendon and pull my toe. In fact, that was one of the problems, is that with the losing the blood and stuff, I started to go into shock.
Yes, you did, and it was interesting because, I mean, you found the wound very interesting for a while.
Yeah.
And then you kept saying, I'm losing it, Fawn, and so I quickly grabbed the cayenne tincture and squirted some in your mouth just to keep you around so we could deal with the wound.
And that kept me from going into shock.
That's right.
So there's another use for cayenne pepper, for red pepper, for capsicum, whatever you want to call it, is keep you from going into shock. And it works really good.
Oh, we've done that several times with people when Tara's had problems. Was going into shock. We quickly doused her with cayenne and things went very well from there. Very excellent herb. But now we'd like to take a quick break and have a word from our sponsors. And as always, our sponsors are the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. And, you know, we're so glad that they like to sponsor us because we kind of like to be on the radio and help all those people that are listening. And right now they have their April specials up and ready to go. You know, hay fever season is going to be coming up before you know it. Some people are already starting to feel a little tingling in their noses and in their eyes. And if you are prone to that and you want to start working on it right now, some of the great things to do is, number one, stop dairy of all sorts.
Right.
And then we do have some good products at the store, the Immucom, the marshmallow
asparagus. Oh, that makes you feel so much better.
Really helps, the SHAT.
Opens up the sinuses, gets you breathing.
And then for kids, the Kitty Soothe, liquid form, really helps you get over that hay fever symptoms. So stop by the store. These are all on special for the month of April. And now let's get back to some more about cayenne pepper. Or shall I give out the phone numbers and people can start putting their questions
sure.
together? The phone numbers are, now pay close attention to this, if you're in Utah County, the phone number here is 224-1400. If you're in Salt Lake and you can hear us this morning, if you're up and around and awake, the number up there is 570-1400. And for those of you on the East Coast, good morning to you, our good friends. The number there, the area code would be 401-621-9253. And the lines are open. We're ready to take any calls. But until you're ready to call us, we're just going to keep talking about the subject we want to talk about.
Some of the things that red pepper can be used for, of course, would be to increase breathing, to help you breathe better. And it works in a couple of ways. It'll actually help the lungs to fill up better and to cleanse the lungs of excess mucus. And it just kind of dilates things, and you start breathing better. So people that are like grasping for breath, cayenne pepper will actually make it so that they can get those breaths in. Cayenne in the nose.
Snuffed up the nose.
Boy, it'll open that nostril like you could breathe a gallon at a time.
A gallon of air, huh?
And it just makes you feel like you got this great big hole in the side of your head. You know, it works really good for that.
But it's not damaging.
No, it clears up the sinuses, makes it so you can just pull in more air. It gives the lungs the capacity to hold more air and to be able to get that out.
Can I tell another little story about you?
I don't know.
Years and years and years ago, you were going through some negotiations and ended up with a bleeding ulcer. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, you even fainted dead away with it right in front of your dad. Your dad brought you to and said, "Come on, David, you're an herbalist. You know how to take care of this." Well, I don't know if that's a direct quote, but he said something similar to that. So what did you do?
So I took that heaping teaspoon of cayenne, mixed it in the water, drank it down, and I thought I'd die.
I bet you did.
It hurt so bad. I mean, it really hurt. You know, you got a bleeding ulcer and you put cayenne on it, it's going to hurt. But it's a temporary hurt.
How long did it hurt? Do you remember?
It didn't hurt much more than 20 days. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. It didn't hurt more than a few minutes.
Okay.
So it was extreme pain for a few seconds, and then it still hurt for a few minutes. And then after that, it calmed down. But the nice thing is my ulcers never bled again.
That's right.
I cured my ulcers with one dose of cayenne pepper.
So all of you people out there that are chicken and you're having problems with ulcers, come on, grow up and act like an adult.
My attorney, who was going through the same negotiation at the time, also had developed ulcers, but he went in the medical route. You know, was taking Tagamet, which basically just shuts off your digestive juices. And he went for a year after that, doing the Tagamet, just causing all kinds of upsets. And finally, he says to me, "What is it you did?" You know, I told him, and he went ahead and did it. It took him a couple of days, but he got rid of his bleeding ulcers.
Well, he had them longer.
He had them longer, yeah. So he took care of his bleeding ulcers that way. And everyone we've tried it on, it's worked fantastic. It works.
It's a little drastic, but it works fast.
Yeah. Cayenne pepper, it's the best thing I can think about. There's a lot of different uses for cayenne pepper. You know, heart attack.
Excellent.
Dr. Christopher never lost a heart attack patient. You just administer it, and it just gets the heart going. You know, we had relied on foxglove for so many years. You know, digitalis and nitroglycerin and stuff. Those things work, but cayenne works better. And, you know, you don't have those things around your house, and if you run out of them, what are you going to do? Well, the cayenne works extremely well. And like I said, Dr. Christopher never lost a heart attack patient. In fact, those gunshot things, you know, I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
He had four cases after that. Five in 1 year.
Gosh.
Of gunshot wounds. And clear them all up with a cayenne pepper, you know, as far as stopping the bleeding.
Isn't that amazing?
Should we go to the phone lines?
Well, let's see what people have to say. And if okay. we don't want to listen to them, we'll talk about what we want to talk about.
Caller number one, you're on the air.
Good morning. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, it's you.
Yes, I'm calling for my wife, and I have three items that I'd like to just run by you, and then I'll hang up and you can discuss them. My wife has extreme allergy symptoms at this time of the year, very, very bad. Eyes, itchy throat, the head problems, the whole nine yards there. Also, she's broken out recently with shingles. And then finally, she had a late baby about a year and a half ago now, and ever since then, she's just been, I guess you might say, exhausted, has never regained her strength, and just tires very, very easily. And we were wondering if there's any recommendation as far as treatment or direction or anything that you might be able to give us in those areas.
Something besides Ritalin or Prozac? Just kidding.
Yes, definitely. So I'll go ahead and hang up and then I guess just listen.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We probably need to do our disclaimer right now. I'm not a doctor, and I can't help anybody with personal problems. So we'll just consider that these were all educational questions, not talking about anybody specifically, but talking about what are the three items?
Well, the first one is extreme allergy, and this is the season, the time of season that people start getting into that.
Right. First of all, we have to stop doing what we're doing wrong. And one of the things that we would most likely be doing wrong is dairy products. And we say for anyone that's got allergies, stop dairy, not cut back. Stop it. 100%. Go cold turkey. Stop right this minute. No dairy. Throw it out. Go in the refrigerator. Dump it all out.
Honestly. Yeah. And we're talking milk. We're talking ice cream. We're talking cheese. We're talking
yogurt. All dairy.
All dairy. Just stop it. Because there's other products you can buy at the health food store that can take the rice dream, soy milks that you can use if you really need to have something. Better than milk. If you really need to have something on a cereal or whatever. There's other products you can use. You don't need cow milk.
Right. Other things that we would stop are sugar, white flour.
All refined foods.
All types of things. Mm-hmm. And
Start
drinking more water. And one of the things that seems to be a problem with allergies is an inability of the body to deal properly with proteins. Because you've been breathing proteins in, and the immune system had reacted to them, probably because of taking a drug or something that stopped the runny nose, which is the way you flush those proteins out.
That's right.
And so the body has a problem with proteins. And so one of the things we have to do is make sure that we're breaking our proteins down properly. And so by taking cayenne pepper, like we talked about here, and tasting it, not just swallowing a capsule of it, but tasting the cayenne pepper, that's going to make the saliva flow. Especially if you take it with apple cider vinegar, which really makes the saliva flow. So apple cider vinegar and cayenne for the saliva, and then it also will stimulate more hydrochloric acid production and break those proteins down better so you won't have that reaction. Because if those proteins then get down into the intestinal tract and don't get broken down by the enzymes from the pancreas, then you're going to react with them with allergies. So one of the things we want to do is increase the digestive capabilities. And that pink tea formula to help make the enzymes, so it'll help the pancreas to help make enzymes to break your protein down properly.
Sure.
So, then one of the things we can do immediately is that Immucalm formula. And that is wonderful. It's taken in larger amounts, like 4 or 5 capsules, 4 or 5 times a day. And it's going to take a little while to kick in. But boy, when it does, it works so effectively.
It does.
Such great relief with it.
It really does.
It might take a couple of weeks. It might take a little longer than that. But when it kicks in, people just love it. They just love it. And then something that's immediate that'll help you just to breathe better and everything is the Shati, the SHA. It works really, really good. So, hey, that's a nice call for things you advertised today,
wasn't
it?
Now we're going to go on about shingles.
Shingles, yeah. You know, with the shingles, probably the best thing is a combination of golden seal, garlic, and skullcap. Those made into an extract form, applied right to the area, and then taken internally is one of the best things of getting rid of it. But as far as the pain of shingles is concerned, cayenne pepper right on the shingles, bam, all the pain is gone.
You had shingles once.
I had shingles once, yeah.
And we used, what was it, that extract you were talking about? Isn't that something we can already buy?
Yeah, it's called CSR.
Oh, CSR. We put that on you and kind of brought them out as fast as we could, didn't we?
Yeah, but I didn't use the cayenne that I should have. We didn't have it, I think. And
well, we didn't think about it at that time. Mm-hmm. What else did you use? You used black ointment on it?
But the cayenne would work the best as far as immediate pain is concerned.
Okay.
We probably ought to mention here that cayenne works for a lot of different pains, not just for shingles. But it's one of our herbs for pain.
And now what about being exhausted after having a baby?
Basically what we want to do is get more nutrients in. We don't want to do stimulation. I mean, if you're exhausted and you don't want to stimulate someone that's exhausted, like kicking a half-dead horse, you don't want to do that. So the vital herbs would be exactly what we'd want to do. We'd want to take six times a day of the vital herbs. Just really put it in there and get those nutrients up, because that's what the exhaustion is from. And you just need to replace those nutrients that were lost with all that effort and giving it to the baby and everything.
Exactly.
Right.
And babies take a lot of time.
They do.
And they rob you of a lot of sleep.
They do.
And so, you know, even though you may be changing your diet and starting to eat better, it still takes a lot of effort and work on your part to be able to get the nutrition that you need every day from your food. It takes a lot of thought and a lot of planning.
Right.
And the vital herbs just kind of helps get you through that period.
Exactly. We want the callers to hang on. We'll get to you. We're going to have to go to a break, but we ought to give the 224-1400.
Okay, the 224-1400 is in Utah County, 570-1400 is Salt Lake County, and 401-621-9253 is our East Coast number.
Thanks for holding on. We'll get to you. Let's go to a break.
We'll go to a break. Our sponsors are the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State and North.
Number two, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, are you there?
Did we lose that?
Hello, am I there?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay.
We sure love your show. First question, where on the East Coast is it broadcast?
Out of Providence, Rhode Island, WALE.
Can you get it into Atlanta, Georgia?
Not yet.
Okay.
But
well,
we're looking maybe down the road.
Good. Well, I got some folks back there that love to listen to you there.
Good.
30-year-old daughter about 6 weeks ago was bitten by a black widow spider, and it has had such severe reactions, the poison, they couldn't get out of her system, and she goes into seizures multiple times a day attributed to that spider bite. I'm just wondering.
Well, in the hospital, they probably gave her some morphine for the pain, didn't they?
I would imagine. I don't know.
One of the problems with giving morphine is morphine's quite constipating. And do you know how the body gets rid of that poison? Through the bowels.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the bowels are clogged up, you'll never get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just the types of things that you might recommend when the body's trying to get rid of toxins.
Okay.
Such as maybe in that example or others.
All right.
We'll like to talk about that. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Well, we had that experience before. I think I got called at like 1 or 2 in the morning.
I remember that.
With a black widow bite from someone. And gave them all this information, and they didn't do anything. Went down to the hospital, got the morphine, got more constipated. And
they suffered for weeks.
This guy was like on crutches for, I think, almost a month.
He suffered for weeks. He really did.
And because what I said was too simple. Hey, I'm sorry, but if you're going to get poison out of your body, there's about only one way to get it out. It needs to go into the lymph, into the liver. The liver's going to break it down, put it into bile, put it out through the bowel, and that's how you're going to get rid of it. But you know, the liver will never turn it into bile if your bowel is so constipated it can't handle anything else. So that's how you get rid of it. So one of the things we would do is give some enemas, take the Fenelby formula.
Oh, exactly.
Now,
when you take that, though, how much should we be taking?
Well, I would just...
I mean, this is an emergency situation, but still.
But even in an emergency situation, more is not necessarily better.
That's right.
And so just what's on the label, 2 capsules. at a time. And you don't do it any more than three times a day.
Okay.
But that's what we do. What if you did want to do more, then you'd do a lot of prune juice.
Right.
You just like drink a glass of prune juice quite often, and that'll help too. So we want to do some flushing there. One of the things that might be good is pectin. Pectin has that ability to draw poisons to it. And so pectin would be something, apple pectin.
How would
great.
You use that?
You just take like a half a teaspoon at a time and take it down orally, mix it into something, a beverage or something. So pectin would be something we'd look at. Also clay, another thing that's going to draw to it.
Do you want to take that orally or put it on the bite?
You can do both. You can put it on the bite to draw out through that way, and then also take it orally. Charcoal is another thing we could use.
And when you say charcoal, are you just talking about the stuff we start fires with?
Basically, yeah. But you can buy it commercially in a food grade. And those things we would use. Also, we've got a little rubber thing that's for snake bites. And I would really think about that. You know, put it right over the area and try to suck some out. Another thing that I would use definitely would be echinacea. Basically, what echinacea does is it stimulates the production of hyaluronic acid, which is what keeps your cells together. It tightens the cells. And then actually the spider injects hyaluronidase, which breaks down the hyaluronic acid. So by taking echinacea, you're countering that hyaluronidase and keeping it from spreading, and then you'll be able to let your immune system take care of the situation. So echinacea would be wonderful. Applying it externally to the area and taking it internally. And I would think about, you know, those 1 ounce bottles of extract that last usually a month around the house.
Sometimes.
I would use one of those.
In a day.
In a day. I'd just take the whole bottle that day. Echinacea is a wonderful thing to use for these things. And we'd use it for snakes, too. So not just spiders, but snakes.
And, you know, and it is an intense program, but if you really want to get over this, then you're going to want to take the time and really hit it hard. And the weekend is the perfect time to do it.
And you've got that red clover combination to help cleanse the
blood.
That'll help push it where it's supposed to go.
Into the lymph and out
right.
to the bowels.
So that red clover combination.
But let's make sure those bowels are open and working freely.
Okay. Well, these are all Dr. Christopher formulas we're talking about, aren't they?
Yes.
Let's go to the next call. This would be caller number 3. You're on the air.
Is that me?
Yes.
Okay, would you discuss reestablishing beneficial flora after an extreme loss of flora? And also, a second question is, what is your opinion of raw gland therapy?
Raw gland therapy?
Mm-hmm. But the first question first.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Is this raw gland therapy for vegetarians?
Well, let's get into that after the first. Establishing beneficial flora.
Yeah, generally you're going to lose the beneficial flora by doing things like antibiotics or a lot of the drugs. A lot of the drugs will just wipe out your flora. Yeah, these things will just wipe out your flora. And so one of the things we want to do is avoid those situations. You know, and doctors like to tell you that, you know, you have to have these antibiotics because your body won't work. Well, not necessarily. I'm still around. You know, and I've had dentists tell me that, you know, if I didn't take this antibiotic, I'd either get heart disease or brain damage.
You were going to have your heart attacked.
We know I don't have any heart problems. Brain damage, maybe.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, really. But, yeah, I think they're just overplayed, and they're not needed as many. I would say that antibiotics are probably necessary in maybe 1% or less of people that take them. They're just way, way overused, 99%. And so basically what we'd want to do to reestablish that flora would be to take products like Acidophilus, probiotics like the PB8 that they have down there at the health food store.
Kimchi.
Kimchi.
We really like kimchi. We like raw sauerkraut.
Raw sauerkraut.
Rejuvelag.
Yeah, these soured products. Pickles, if they're done right, not with the distilled vinegar, but if you make pickles the way they're supposed to be made.
The herb shop has some of those.
Yeah, those would be good. These are good products. So that's what we would do is reestablish it with those. Down there at the herb shops, they've got that product by Nature's Way.
Oh, Primodophilus.
The Primodophilus. That it's really interesting. They encapsulate it so it won't open up in your stomach. It bypasses your stomach, opens up in your intestines, and boom, you get that growth where it's needed. And you take that right before going to bed.
Right.
So you get that growth going on at night.
Sounds good. What about the raw glands therapy? Are you into that?
Isn't that funny that people are into this and into that, you know? Into that, no. Thing is that we see that herbs work so well, you know, that we've had a tremendous results with, like, the thyroid. You don't have to take thyroid tissue to get your thyroid working. You need to give your thyroid what it needs.
It needs the nutrients
needs
and the
nutrients.
Vitamins and the minerals to
and
activate it.
One of those, of course, is iodine, which you find in kelp. You don't want to take iodine. That could be dangerous. But the iodine that's contained in kelp, very beneficial. And we've had some really good success with Dr. Christopher's Mullen and Lobelia combination.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent, yeah.
And so that's...
So any glandular thing that they're using, we can find herbs better, you know.
And they're more natural, and there's nothing isolated and nothing added to.
And they work better.
Right.
Because you're giving the body exactly what it needs.
Exactly.
Okay, let's go to another call. This would be caller number 4. Good morning,
Hi.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Listening to your program, and you were talking about dairy products.
Uh-huh.
And I do avoid them as much as I can. But then also you talked about cereal, you know, what do you put in your cereal, you know, when you have it, you can't, which I don't put milk, I do have spring water that I heat up and I put that in it, but I would like some kind of a, how about soy milk, is that any good?
Yeah, you can do that. Fawn's got a nice recipe for you. Go ahead, Fawn.
Well, we've got a good recipe. You can make milk out of almonds. You take, about three, fill your blender up about 3/4 of the way full with distilled water.
Okay.
And then take my hand is a small hand, so I take about 2 handfuls of almonds and put in there.
Mm-hmm.
And blend those up really, really well.
Right.
I strain that out through one of those great big stainless steel strainers you can buy at the grocery store.
Right.
And the meal is left in the strainer. You can put that back in the blender with some more water and get...
What stays in there?
The meal, the almond meal.
After
after the almonds are all crunched up.
Right.
You can put that back in the blender with some more water and blend them up again and get a little bit more out of them.
Right.
Strain that again so you have this white liquid in your pitcher.
Right.
Take a tablespoon of honey and put it in, about 1/4 cup of hot water to melt the honey.
Mm-hmm.
Put about 1 teaspoon of pure vanilla extract in there.
Vanilla, yeah.
And then add that to the nut milk, and you've got a really nice beverage. It works well in cooking. It works well on cereals.
That's the best thing I've ever had on cereal.
Okay, let me just question one of the things you said. Honey is sugar, and you've got so much sugar in cereals. Why would you want to add more sugar?
I don't know why anybody would want to add more sugar.
Well, the reason I put honey in there is just because it brings out the flavor of the almonds and the vanilla.
Yeah.
And basically what we're saying is...
Well, I would keep that on because it's more...
Well, you don't
added.
Need to put it in there, that's true.
No.
Probably the best thing would be to not buy cereals with sugar on them.
Well, I try to avoid it. You know, I read the labels and they'll say less sugar, but I would say most of them have some sugar in them. You know,
if you go to a health food store, you're going to find a lot better.
Yeah, I did. Function. I did, and it seems if they were just as
Some of those cereals at health food stores are excellent. They taste excellent, much better than the ones in the grocery store.
No, I've been there too. You know, I tried both, but this sounds pretty good. But what do you think of soy milk now? What is it really? Sweet, or is it what? What is it like? I mean, I did try it once, but I
did you like it? Did you like it?
It was all right, but I didn't know what it was made from and how, you know, if it's really.
No, it's made from soy.
Soy, okay.
And I don't particularly myself. My personal taste is I don't like soy milk because I find it slimy, and I don't like slimy
things.
Maybe
that's why I gave it up.
However, there's another product put out called Better Than Milk. And it's made from tofu rather than from soy, so you don't get that slimy quality.
You know, and this little product...
Better than milk?
Yes.
It's called Better Than Milk. You take a scoopful of that to a cup of water, and it reconstitutes like a regular powdered milk. It goes really fast, and in an emergency, I'll use that. It works really well. Tastes
better
good, too.
Better than milk. I'll have to try that.
Okay, I hope that helps.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks
for
your call.
Bye-bye.
Good call. We do have some milk substitutes out there. We just need to know where to find them.
Okay, this will be caller number 5. Good morning, you are on the air.
Dave.
Hi.
I had a couple of comments.
Okay.
People think that red pepper is an irritant, and yet I had kept some on my cupboard in my cupboard for quite a while, and there were actually worms in it crawling around. Kind of interested me because I didn't think
anything would go to it, huh?
I didn't think anything would grow in that. I also was up in Lethbridge last week, and after driving about 14 hours, I was really, really tired. And I went to the health food store and asked about Dr. Christopher's formulas. And they had heard of them, however, they did not have any.
Shame.
And another friend up there who has a pharmacy is really interested in getting your line, because many Canadians are disenchanted with the health system up there.
Well, have them go ahead and call 1-800-453-1406, and they'd be glad to help
them
out.
Service them, you bet.
1-800-453-1406.
I think it's access to Canada.
Okay. And I was wondering, is paprika a form of cayenne, or is it...
Yeah, it is. It is one of the capsicums. It's a very mild. It, to be paprika, it has to be under 25
BTUs
of heat. Uh-huh. Generally, down there, more around 5 or 10.
Okay, I was wondering about that.
And, yeah, paprika is was actually cultivated to keep the heat out.
Mm-hmm.
That's its purpose.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks for your call.
Yeah, paprika or Hungarian paprika, or I think they've got Spanish paprika too, Spanish pimento. You find those in like green olives.
I was just going to say the pimentos.
And those taste really quite nice. They don't have that heat quality to them, so you get the taste without the heat. But see, a lot of people really like the heat. One of the reasons people like the heat is because... it's kind of like chocolate. You know, people eat chocolate because of the endorphins. Endorphins makes you feel good. Well, people do cayenne for the same reason, red pepper. When you eat red pepper, it is like it's so hot, your body thinks it's been burnt, so it thinks it's been damaged. And so substance P is put out by the body, you know, pain signals.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you immediately, when you eat cayenne, get pain. But then... the body always, in a situation like that, wants to make you feel better, so it will release these endorphins. And so people that eat cayenne a lot get a lot of the endorphins put out, like runners. You know, runners, when they go like 25 miles, they'll get a lot of endorphins excreted. Well, you don't have to run 25 miles. Just take some cayenne, and that releases these endorphins and makes you feel a lot better. Also, it's interesting about cayenne as far as pain is concerned. You know, we mentioned it for shingles. The reason that works is because... here, the body thinks it's been burnt because, you know, you're looking at sometimes as much as 350,000 British thermal units of heat. And when that's applied to an area, the body thinks it's been damaged, puts out the pain signals, and then when the brain gets the signal that nothing was damaged at all, then it thinks it was a false signal.
Mm.
And so it'll block the release of pain signals. So it doesn't only work for the cayenne, but for anything in that area. So that's why it works for, like, arthritis. You put cayenne on that joint, and the body thinks it got a false signal and shuts off the pain in that area, and then you don't have the pain from the arthritis either.
Well, is that like a good thing to put on the joints then would be like the deep heating balm the herb shops have?
Oh, yeah, the herb shops have that Professor Cayenne deep heating balm, which is made with
cayenne pepper,
and it works excellent. In fact, they did a study. This is interesting. And that particular study... they tried a number of different things with cayenne pepper. There were 576 people that were in this particular study. For circulation problems, 89% of those people, it improved their circulation.
Wow.
89%.
That's a high percentage.
It definitely is. As far as cold hands and feet are concerned, 85%. Headaches, 85% of the people were helped with headaches.
Wow.
So for these pain things. Guess what happened with migraines?
What?
100%.
Hmm.
We're not talking 89, 90. 100% of the people that had migraines that used cayenne pepper had help. And there's been three different studies. One where they took it internally. They just took the cayenne capsules. It helped with migraines. Another one where they took and rubbed cayenne on the outside of the nose. And on the inside of the nose.
Hmm.
That one also, 100% effectiveness. And then the other one, you just take a little bit of cayenne, just a small amount of cayenne, and you snuff it up your nose. And you have to snuff it up the side that the headache's on. So as far as migraine, if it's on the right side, you snuff it up the right side. If it's on the left side, you snuff up the left side. And bammo takes care of that migraine headache.
Isn't that amazing?
It is absolutely amazing. Cayenne is one of the best things for pain. So even though it gives you pain, which is temporary, it relieves the pain. Remember, when, like I said, when I had my bleeding ulcer?
That's
yes,
right.
It gave me immediate pain, but long-lasting effect for the rest of my life, no more bleeding ulcers. Cayenne is an absolutely wonderful, wonderful herb. And it helps to improve the digestion. Well, I guess we ought to go to the phones. Or was there another question?
No, I...
Okay. Caller number 6, you're on the air.
Are you there?
Caller number 6? Caller number 6?
Hello.
Hi.
That's you.
Oh,
I guess it was an engineer problem here.
There we are. Okay. Well, speaking of cayenne, I have a question for you, too, but I had quite a bad sinus infection this winter, and I had some of that heating balm you're talking about, Dr. Cayenne?
Professor Cayenne.
Professor Cayenne. And so I used it on my nose, and as you say, it causes instant pain, but there was a great deal of relief.
Good.
I have a son that thinks that I live to preach about garlic and cayenne.
Good.
And my question is for him. He had a tooth that he had a root canal done on. The doctor said, well, we'll try and save this tooth. And I was speaking to him a couple of days ago, and he has a cyst on the outside part of his gum that is really an ugly looking thing, and he hasn't gone back about it. He doesn't know what to do. And I was just wondering, I had heard you talking about using packings for the gum, but I didn't have a need for it at the time, so I didn't take down your recipe.
Okay.
And would that help?
Oh, definitely.
To get rid of the cyst? And is a cyst something that is manifesting an infection inside? Is that what it is, or is it just an external thing?
Well, the body's collecting what it needs to get rid of, and it's stagnant in that area. So basically what we want to do is bring blood into the area and send it out. And so
okay.
whether it brings it out through the surface or whether it sends it to the bloodstream, either way, we're going to try to get rid of it. So, we would take and just go ahead and pack that area with the cayenne pepper.
With the cayenne pepper?
Yes.
And anything else with that?
Well, I know Dr. Christopher, years ago, I remember him saying that you could take a peeled button of garlic and put that on a cyst or an abscess in the mouth, and that would help with the infection there. What about your oak bark in the septic?
Yeah, that's another thing we could do. We take oak bark and slippery elm, mix them with Exceptic.
Exceptic? How do you spell it?
It's Exceptic.
Oh, okay. Exceptic. Okay.
And we put them together so it's kind of like pie dough.
Okay.
And then we get this pie dough consistency. We go ahead and put that right on the area and hold it on. Generally, the best way to do that would be just on the gums close to the area, and then the lip will just hold it on. You can keep it on there all day.
Okay, yeah, it is on the gum, and so just pack it over that cyst.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one I was wondering about, but yet he could still pack cayenne pepper. Could he put cayenne pepper in this mixture?
With the oak bark?
Sure.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
It'd be a good idea.
Because it'll kind of bring that blood and help clear all that garbage out of that.
You can.
Well, thank you so much. I love your program. I really miss you when you're away.
Oh, thanks.
Or when you're not on.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Good luck to you.
Bye.
Oh, good. No. Well, I think we better get some calls before the end of the hour. So, caller number 7, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That last caller, you know, I've been using cayenne for a good 20 years. I grow my own, and to this day, I've never formed any tolerance to the heat factor, and it's pretty, pretty tough to pack it into a gum area and not hit the roof. But you also might want to look at comfrey and ginger combination. Very good contact healers to pull out the swelling and inflammation.
Yeah, you're right. Those are good, too.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've used over the years, not for myself but for close friends, is for migraines, is the combination of the cayenne, the garlic, with bee pollen. They all thin the blood, and improve the circulation, and the heart slows down and rests, and it'll help to relieve the constriction of the blood vessels in the brain. My question to you this morning is melatonin. Do you know where the origin of this material is coming from?
Melatonin?
What was the question about
where
melatonin?
The origin of the material is coming from?
Oh, generally they make it from like beans and things.
Are you sure of that?
Yeah, they're not killing enough little animals to get melatonin out of them.
Okay, so it's a plant derivative.
Yeah, they do actually get it from plants, yeah.
Okay.
Which is something, see, the thing is we should be able to just eat those plants and get all that we need, let our body make melatonin instead of taking melatonin. If you give the body something it's supposed to make, it'll stop making it. But if you take the foods that are high in that substance and your body breaks it down and makes the melatonin, then there's no interference at all. In fact, the body just uses it and makes more melatonin.
Well, how come we're not getting it out of our food then?
A lot of times it's because the food doesn't have the basic building blocks it needs.
Okay.
And the American diet is, you know what it is.
Oh, it's bad.
You bet.
I make it an effort every year to grow a bigger garden and a more elaborate garden with more canning and jarring for the winter months because what I'm getting in the market is coming up from South America. I think it's drenched in pesticide, grown on vitamin and mineral deficient soil, and radiated into the essence of the enzymes may be depleted and playing Russian roulette there.
Exactly. And that's why we use that Vital Herb formulas, because it's got all those nutrients in it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Thanks for your call.
Well, we have time for one more quick call.
Okay.
Then we need to sign off.
Caller number 8, you're on the air.
Hi, is that me?
Yes.
Okay. Every time I wonder if it's me. I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about Candida. Have you discussed that before?
We did, in fact, on today's program.
Oh.
Didn't we?
Oh, yeah, we did a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just curious about how you determine if you have it and what you can do for it.
Okay, we'll discuss that real briefly before we sign off.
Yeah, I know you have. Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
You know, one of the things that it develops into is chronic fatigue syndrome. It's like night follows day.
That's right.
You have yeast overgrowth, candida, then you get chronic fatigue syndrome. So all the symptoms of chronic fatigue syndrome would be what we'd start feeling, you know, with a yeast overgrowth. Those are the same things. And, as we mentioned before, we want to stop doing the dairy, stop doing sugar.
Stop doing antibiotics.
Stop doing antibiotics. Dairy would be devastating for that, so we want to stop that. Some of the herbs we would use, black walnut would be an excellent one, pau de arco, golden seal, garlic, onions, all those would be good for that particular condition.
And then we want to start introducing the friendly flora back into the intestines with products like we suggested before, like kimchi, primidophilus, raw sauerkraut, the Rejuvelac that you make from soaking wheat. All of these products help to get that friendly flora reestablished back into the intestines and to crowd out the candida.
Right. So
those kind of products we can work on very fairly easily. It's just a question of being diligent and consistent enough to follow through on it.
And all these things are available from the herb shop.
160 South State of Norm and 188 South Main in Springville. And the people in the stores are so friendly and helpful, and they just love to have you come in and browse around.
1-800-453-1406 for any place else. Give them a call. Well, it's been a nice program. What makes it good is your calls. And until next week, be happy. Have a healthier you.
better means. Ah, teach me to play a song that never ends. Let's take ourselves on another league. Guess I've been a few places she ain't never been. They say you've been open, I've been closed for business today. Why don't you stay? I think I see the serpent sleep. Learn how to play a song, that song that never ends. Should we really take ourselves out of this deep? Earth was big, I thought the fish just parted from the sea. Guess I've been a few places I shouldn't have been. Wish she never used my means to get away. You've been open, I've been closed for business today. Treated me in those ways, I don't believe that I could stay. Not as cold no more on those cold winter days. I learned how to play that song that shouldn't end. In my own heart, I got the love I need. And I've been open, sign reads closed, leaving town on a one-man show. Call again tomorrow.